Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a blah 5-1 loss to the Angels on Friday night. We're going to get into everything here in just a little bit. There's not a whole lot to go through from a Rangers offensive standpoint. There are a few things just notable in Rangers Nation, I think, that are worth talking about. And of course, tomorrow, I think a lot of people are interested in seeing Jack Leiter's sixth major league start and what that may bring. So we're still going to cover, I think, some pretty decent content material tonight. We appreciate y'all hanging out. It's not easy coming on doing lives after games like tonight or just talking about the games in general. But we're here. We've been here, rain or shine, win or loss, and we're going to get it done. And we are going to get some positives out there too. Easy to just rail on the team and rag on the offense tonight. We're going to try and get a little bit below the surface here. So appreciate y'all hanging out. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. A lot of different options out there for Texas Rangers content. We appreciate you choosing Right on Rangers for your post-game and in-game at times analysis. Appreciate you guys. So let's get right into it. Bullpen game today. I think Garabito, seeing his name in the probable starter line, was a good sight, I think, for a lot of Rangers fans. I don't know a ton of fans that have been down on Garabito this year. Does he look like a lights out, you know, dominant swing and miss dude? No. But is he a guy that just grinds out at bats and gets outs? Yes. And he got into a little bit of trouble there in the third inning, I believe. I really wish that he would have been able to finish that out. What a huge double play he got there with bases loaded. A run does come across to score, but you got two out, a runner on third. Really didn't understand the mindset of taking him out in that spot, but nevertheless is what it is. I really felt like Garabito probably could have gone easily another inning or so, gotten you four solid ones. It's already a bullpen game. I mean, I would think the goal would be get as many out of Garabito as you can. So I didn't love Pennington coming in that spot. Now, you know, I understand that maybe there's some matchup things going on. Maybe they went into this with a game plan. And of course, Shanuel, I think, was coming up next. So they wanted the lefty on lefty, which, I mean, look, I'm not personally in love with in moments like this. Lefty on lefty late, I understand. But lefty on lefty and worrying about that matchup in the third inning of a game, I don't know. Personally, I really don't think it matters that much at that point. It's the third inning. We're not in high stakes eighth inning or ninth inning. I really don't care about the Pennington versus Shanuel lefty-lefty in the third inning with two outs and a runner on third base. At that point, if Garabito gives up the base knock, it is what it is. I mean, that's what Pennington did anyways. I would have liked to have seen more of Garabito. I don't know if it would have made a difference in this game. The offense was absolutely putrid and terrible. And really, when you look at it, the Rangers have scored four runs in two games against the Angels. I mean, that's got to tell you something about the state of the team right now. Four runs in two games against one of the worst teams in baseball. That's where we're at right now, y'all. But Garabito, look, I really feel like the Rangers have low-key done him wrong in 2024. I feel like there's been a lot of guys that the Rangers have had up and down minor leagues to major leagues. And Garabito, all he's really done is pitch outstanding in nearly every start, nearly every outing, I should say, because not all of these have been starts. I think he's had two or three of those. But Grant Anderson has had more major league time on the roster this year than Garabito has. How does that make sense? I feel like low-key, just kind of under the radar, Rangers have done Garabito wrong. I really feel like he should have been getting more opportunities this year. And for whatever reason, maybe it's because they don't view him as a long-term guy. That's actually the only reason that really makes sense to me why you don't have Garabito in there more this year, is they really didn't feel like he was a long-term guy, kind of just an innings eater when you're short on guys. And, hey, we need Garabito for a week because we've got multiple guys who are tired or on the shelf or whatever the case may be. And so we'd rather have a look, an extended look at guys like Grant Anderson. That's really the only thing that makes sense to me. I don't know why they needed a whole lot more extended looks at Grant Anderson. I think every inning that Grant Anderson threw over the past week or two, you probably could have given to Garabito and it would have been just fine. But whatever, you know, look, we don't get paid the big bucks to make these decisions, as we like to say. But Garabito, look, I feel like he could have had an opportunity to get out of that third inning, probably would have, and then he could have pitched the fourth. Look, Pennington comes in, gives up the base knock. He did not have a ton of pitches in this one, so perhaps they're trying to save Pennington for the next two games, Saturday, Sunday. But Urania comes in. I thought he pitched 5 2/3 quality baseball, nearly a quality start, even though, of course, he's not starting. 5 2/3, 3 earned runs. I mean, Garabito and Urania, I know that they're guys that just on the surface level you think about as middle relief innings eaters. Maybe the play was to use those guys in the seventh inning and use them in more high leverage spots. I've said for a while, I really wouldn't have minded Urania in more of a high leverage role on the team, with how much we really struggled at the beginning of the year to bridge that gap from the seventh inning to Robertson and Yates in the eighth and ninth inning. Robertson and Yates always pretty much going to lock it down for you, but the Rangers had one of the worst run differentials in the seventh inning this year of all 30-plus Major League Baseball teams. So I really think that the play should have been to get Urania, maybe even Garabito, in a little bit more of a high-leverage role in this bullpen. Compared to the other options, I don't know, do you trust a whole lot of other guys more than Garabito or Urania in the bullpen, not named David Robertson or Kirby Yates? I can't say that I do. Leclerc? I don't trust Leclerc more than Garabito or Urania. I don't trust a lot of those guys. I don't trust Pennington more than Garabito or Urania. I could go down the list. I could keep going. There's just not a lot of guys I really trust to get the job done more than Garabito or Urania, not named Robertson or Yates at this point. So, look, it is what it is. It's September. The season most likely over, at least at the end of September, right? But I think that at this point, you're trying to build positive momentum, see what you got for 2025. Urania, one-year deal, right? So, I don't know. Hopefully, he's kind of flown under the radar. I mean, I doubt it with all of the advanced scouting stats, analytics in today's game. I'm sure he hasn't. And Urania, not a big swing and miss guy, so maybe not very appealing, at least a widespread to other teams. I hope we can get Urania back. I'd love to have Urania back on another one-year deal. I'd love to have Garabito back. Look, the grass isn't always greener. You got guys that can just get outs. I think you got to take that. I really do. John, what's up, man? Thanks for the comment. Appreciate you. Why in the world would we start Garabito tonight? Urania should have started, and then Garabito after. Pulling him after the double play was just crazy. Pennington comes in and immediately gives up a run. Look, it's such a fine line, and I know what the, you know, Rangers apologists are going to say, the people that just are going to defend every single move that Bruce Bochy and the coaching staff makes. I'm not one of those types of fans, full disclosure. I definitely am an optimist, glass half full kind of guy, but I'm going to call it like it is, just like my friend John here does. And when we don't like a move, it's okay to disagree. I mean, seriously, that's what makes it fun being a fan and fun doing shows like this. Everybody agrees with each other. What fun would we have on this show? So I was actually okay with the Garabito start, but for me, the pull of Garabito after the clutch double play ball. So Garabito makes a great pitch, gets a double play. And look, you're trying to work on things, right? The vision, I get reminded of this by some of these fans I'm telling you about, some of these Rangers apologists, the trust the process, everything the coaching staff does is gold. Why wouldn't you want to see what Garabito can do with two outs and a runner on third? It's the third inning of a meaningless game. Why not see what Garabito can do? See if he can get out of the inning. After a clutch ground ball double play, you pull him? I thought we were working on stuff. There's no reason to match up lefty-lefty in the third inning of what is most likely going to be a meaningless game. So, personally, was not a fan of that. Didn't mind the Garabito start, John, but I can see your point. I thought Urania was going to start this game. We didn't have an announced starter at the end of the live last night, but I fully expected Urania to get announced. So, same thought process there with you, bud. When Garabito was announced, I thought to myself, you know what? Cool. Good for him. They're giving him an opportunity. He deserves it. He's got a sub-3 ERA. He deserves it. But for me, not letting him get out of that third inning was an odd move. And it's not the difference in the game per se because the offense was so terrible, but I didn't love it. You know, we know that early wrong moves can make a big difference in a ball game, the momentum. And so I didn't love it from that standpoint. For me, I want to see the Rangers do some different things developmentally. I want to see different guys get opportunities, but I don't want them throwing in the towel on some of these games. I don't know. There's a difference between looking to 2025 and seeing what you got for 2025 and just putting your team in straight up bad positions. Like, you don't have to put the team in bad positions just so you can see growth. Like, I think you can still try and win ball games while giving guys opportunities. Look, clearly, the only thing I can think of is Garabito is just a guy they don't see in the long-term plans. And that's why they're a little bit less willing to have him play in a multitude of games and maybe a little bit less willing in this spot to let him go a little bit longer. It's really the only thing that makes sense to me. I really don't get why you wouldn't have wanted Garabito going four innings tonight. I would have personally gone four innings Garabito, five innings Urania, and called it a day. Or flip it. Urania goes five, Garabito pitches the last four. I thought that was going to be the move tonight. Pennington coming in to match up lefty-lefty against Shanuel, who got a base hit off Pennington anyways, just an odd move for me. John says, when we had first and third with one out in the first and couldn't score, I knew it was going to be one of those games. Dude, you keep taking the words out of my mouth. But that to me was just quintessential Rangers baseball in 2024. It wasn't bottom of the first, though, right? Wasn't it like bottom of the second, something like that? I think it was bottom of the second. Goalie strikes out swinging. Nate Lowe draws a walk. Zeke singles. So you got first and third. Sandro comes up. And, you know, Sandro's getting an opportunity right now. I totally get it. I'm happy that some of the rookies, some of the minor league guys are coming up. So Sandro comes up, flies out to right field. Not deep enough to advance Lowe from third base. That's a tough spot for a minor leaguer. You do need to get a productive out there. Look, I'm going to give him a little benefit of the doubt. It's a tough spot. You're getting an opportunity in the big leagues. You got first and third, one out. Look, I'll give him a little bit of a pass tonight because he's not one of those seasoned vets per se, but got to put the ball in play in a way that makes the defense work and allows the runner from third base to have a legitimate chance at scoring. Got to get the fly ball deeper, or you got to hit the ball on the ground right side and beat it out. There's a lot of different ways you can score a run from third base with one out, with less than two outs. And so then you get Carson Kelly coming up, grounding out for the force out, and the Rangers aren't able to get a run with first and third, one out. And they've done that a lot this year. And so, yes, when that happened, you kind of knew this is going to be a long night. can we talk about, though, the Angels pitchers just dominating the Rangers? Like, look, what's his name? Aldegary aside, the Angel starter. Aldegary aside, Brock Burke comes in and basically dominates the Rangers in his inning of relief. And didn't you just know that Brock Burke was going to come in and just be lights out? And look, it pretty much lights out. Simeon hits a little soft ground ball to third base. Then you had, a double play ball and then a strikeout from Burke. I mean, look, Brock Burke, you just had a feeling he was going to come in and dominate. That's the way the Rangers' luck has gone this season. I really did not feel any kind of hope that we were going to end up scoring a bunch of runs off him in that moment. Brock Burke, of course, infamously, during his time with the Rangers at the beginning of this 2024 season, broke his hand after a poor outing and had to go on the IL for months, came back, had like a nice stretch of games, we'll call it, and then kind of went back to being the guy that gets lit up pretty much every start. So he finds himself on the Angels at the end of 2024. Like I said, you just knew that with how this season has gone for the Rangers, he was going to come in and pitch a scoreless inning. I just really didn't have a doubt there. But yeah, the Angels pitchers, we are making them look really, really good. Really good. Brock Burke has a 6.20 ERA. My goodness, a 6.20 ERA for Brock Burke. He comes in scoreless. Quijada comes in, walks a guy, strikes out two. Strickland, another guy. I mean, seriously, y'all. Not good. Not good. The Rangers have scored four runs against one of the worst teams in baseball in two games. Just not good. Hopefully tomorrow's a new day. The Rangers struck out 12 times tonight. 27 outs, 12 strikeouts. you're just not going to win a lot of baseball games putting the ball in play that little. Rangers 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position, 6 left on base. Josh Jung with an error tonight. Not the best night for the Rangers. Just not the best night. 4 hits. And look, Aldegary has been decent. Look, he's got a 2.45 ERA. Clearly, he's got some stuff. Aldegary only, let's see, 2 starts in the majors. This was his second major league start. 11 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. Aldegary, only his second major league start. I thought he had a few more under his belt than this. I knew, I saw the debut, but I just thought he had a couple more starts. Aldegary, if you don't know, I believe first Italian-born player to be in the major leagues, like lived his whole life in Italy. Maybe that's wrong. Doesn't seem like that's the case, but he pitched phenomenally. Whatever the case or whatever the background may be, I mean, he pitched phenomenally. So this is actually a good segue. So we're talking about Samuel Aldegary, the Angels starter, 2 starts, 2.45 ERA. So this is a good segue because Jack Leiter is on the bump tomorrow for the Rangers, making his 6th major league start. I think we have to flush this one out a little bit. If you want to talk more game 142, the game we just witnessed, you feel free to drop it in the comments and I will have something to say. If you want to talk more about tonight's game, I'm going to slowly start transitioning us towards tomorrow, though, if you don't mind. So, Aldegary, 2 starts, 2.45 ERA. Pitcher. Okay, sorry. I was actually hoping somebody would catch me on this because I just caught it real quick and I had a bunch going on in the background at home. So, first Italian-born and fully reared pitcher. Thank you. I thought to myself, there's got to be a batter from Italy, somebody from Italy, but pitcher. Thank you for that clarification. So this is actually what I wanted to start talking about. This comment here nailed it perfectly. I wish Leiter could have a start like what Aldegary just had tonight. There's a lot of Jack Leiter apologists in Rangers Nation. And look, I can't say I'm one of them. I can't say I'm in full panic mode on Jack Leiter, but I can't say I'm a Jack Leiter apologist. I've been seeing a lot of explaining away Jack Leiter's poor start in the major leagues. A lot of explaining away. I mean, look, even Jared Sandler, who I love, is explaining away a lot of Jack Leiter's struggles at the beginning of the year. So Jared, I was kind of going back and forth with some 105.3 The Fan guys. You guys may have caught that exchange or not. If you do, look it up. Jared Sandler, 105.3 The Fan. Jack Leiter, I'm sure it'll pop right up. So Jared basically came on and said, and I'm summarizing, again, go watch it if you want to get the exact quotes from him. Like, Jack Leiter, first round draft pick, 2nd overall in the draft. And Jared basically was saying, you know, we shouldn't be expecting him to be an ace. He kind of plays as a third starter, and we shouldn't be expecting him to be an ace. Like, it's not fair to be expecting him to be that. That's kind of what I took away from Jared's comments. And there's some realities that I think we have to address. The first thing, if you're a Jack Leiter apologist, how many years are you good with him sucking? I mean, let's just be direct and honest. How many years are you good with him sucking and claiming that it's just developmental years? 4 years? 5 years? After 5 years, are we still going to be saying trust the process with Jack Leiter? I don't get that mindset at all. Right now, if you're not a little perturbed with how Jack Leiter has pitched so far in the major leagues, I really kind of question where your head's at. Like, he's a first round, 2nd overall pick who had college years too. This isn't an 18 or 19 year old. If Jack Leiter had gone to the majors right out of high school, he was a 2nd overall pick right out of high school, 18 years old, and 3 years later at 21, he's doing this, there's not a lot of panic. But when you are Jack Leiter doing the college years, then after that, getting 3 years in the minors and still don't really have any kind of quality start to your name in the major leagues, that's concerning. I don't think all is well. So the people that are trying to pretend like this is just great, he's right on track, I don't get that. Because last start was decent, but let's not pretend like it was some magical unlocking of Jack Leiter. I didn't take that start to be that. If you did, you are more optimistic than I, and I'm okay with that. I would love to see Jack come out and pitch really well tomorrow. I think we take it with a grain of salt. The Angels are not a good team. The Yankees are a good team. And you know what? Jack did limit the Yankees early on in the game, got into trouble in the sixth inning. But for me, I don't see a consistent enough out pitch from Jack Leiter, a put-away pitch, if you will. And I think Jack needs to continue to limit the base runners and be more consistent before I'm buying in. But the people, again, that are trying to make you believe, I don't want to say brainwashing, but it feels like gaslighting at times from some of these different personalities in Rangers Nation, thinking and trying to get us to believe that it's all good that Jack Leiter in six starts doesn't have a quality start to his name, has been in the major leagues or in the minor leagues for 3 years and is still struggling. And by the way, he's a first round draft pick, but nobody should be expecting him to be an ace. What? Are you kidding me? Why do you draft a guy? You draft a guy in the first round so he can be a back end rotation guy? That's why we drafted Jack Leiter, so he could be a number three rotation guy? I know that the MLB draft is not the NFL draft, but come on now. We need to stop with the Jack Leiter gaslighting. It's mediocre at best, what we're seeing. It's not on track. I hope that he rebounds and continues to pitch well. I don't root for Jack Leiter to fail at all. So that's the other thing that's frustrating is if you are of the mindset that Jack is a little bit behind, you're labeled a hater. You must hate Jack Leiter because you think he's a little bit behind right now. I don't hate any Rangers player. I love the Jack Leiter pick. I am rooting for Jack. I want to see him have a great start tomorrow. I will get on and sing his praises tomorrow if he goes six innings, three runs or less. Even if he goes five innings, three runs or less, you will hear me sing some praises tomorrow. But look, we can't go one start and blow it up. Oh, he went five innings and only gave up two runs against the Yankees. Yeah, but then he loaded the bases in the sixth inning. And no, he didn't get an opportunity to finish the sixth inning, but I don't think we can assume Jack Leiter gets out of a bases-loaded no-out jam in the sixth. That could have gotten ugly really quickly. Was it a great first five innings? 100% it was. Does Jack still have a long way to go? And should he be held to a higher standard because he's a first-round pick? 1,000,000%. Here's another reality. Can we all agree that first-round draft picks don't always work out? See, that's the other thing is, you've got some people in Rangers Nation assuming Jack Leiter is going to work out. There's been so many first-round draft picks that have flamed out. Another one that I'm worried about is Justin Foscue. Justin Foscue was a first-round draft pick in 2020. Justin Foscue is hitting .075 right now. Like, can we all just agree? Sometimes first-round draft picks don't work out. We're not saying Jack Leiter isn't going to work out, but can we just agree that it's a possibility? So the people that are worried about Jack, they have every right to be. First-round draft picks flame out. I can go through every single draft from 2024 back to the beginning of the draft and its origins, and you will find no-name first-rounders that never even made the major leagues. It happens. The fact that Jack has made the major leagues is a huge accomplishment. For a first-round draft pick, the expectations are higher. You're not just satisfied that he made the majors. First-round draft picks, in my opinion, you shouldn't be drafting as this could be a really nice four or fifth starter for us. When you draft, and you're drafting in the first round, you're trying to draft a star, and I'm not going to be told differently. There are a lot of savants out there trying to tell you that you don't draft a first-round player in the Major League Baseball draft to be a star? Come on now. I don't know, y'all. I've been a little bit perturbed by the Jack Leiter gaslighting, the people that refuse to allow any criticism of the guy. Look, y'all know how it rolls here, right on Rangers. We admit when we're wrong. We're transparent when we didn't get it right. We call it like it is based on the stats. We try and weave in a little bit of optimism. And Jack, I think the optimistic side of things is he's got a whole month in September. He's got a whole offseason. He's got some great pitchers on staff that can hopefully help teach him and mentor him. DeGrom, Evo. There's some other guys, some other vets as well that I like. Mally. But look, he's got some good mentors potentially on the staff. He's got spring training next year. Time is still on his side. But if Jack Leiter stinks it up in 2025, how are you not concerned? And if you're not a little bit concerned right now, what? You're flipping a switch next year when he comes out the gate poor, and now you're concerned? I mean, look, if you're not concerned right now, when are you going to be? I guess is my question. I know we've been going on about Jack Leiter for a while now. Let's put a bow on it this way. He's pitching against one of the worst teams in baseball tomorrow. He has an opportunity the rest of this season to be a starting pitcher for the Rangers. That's invaluable experience. With Malley and with Gray getting shut down, I think that it's a great, great spot for him to really be able to feel some consistency. So I think that can play into the psyche a little bit. Am I going to get sent down? If I suck, if I blow it up in this start, are they going to send me down back to the minors? I don't think he really has to deal with that anymore right now. I think he's pretty much a starting pitcher in the rotation the rest of the way. Not that there's much time left, but he might have three more starts, including tomorrow, left in him. But you kind of know at this point, Jack is a mainstay. And hopefully that gives him some confidence and settles him a little bit. So that way you're not putting so much pressure on yourself because getting sent down is possibly at stake. So I think all of those are positives working in his favor, but we have to stop being pumped about five innings and five earned runs. This is our first round draft pick. It's the same reason why I am a little bit down on Justin Foscue. Dude, you were our first round draft pick. You played SEC baseball, which in my opinion is the highest level of college baseball. So Foscue, you played what, Mississippi State, correct? I mean, you're playing the highest level of college ball. You're our first round draft pick and you're hitting below 100 in what I would say is a decent sample size of at bats at this point. Look, it's not a ton. And the thing that I could give Foscue is he was injured and the injury very well may have messed with him and all of his progress in the 2023-24 offseason. Foscue did have a nice spring training. So maybe we give Foscue a break and we chalk it up to, yeah, the injury got him off track. But for me, I'm not sitting around happy or making excuses for Foscue. Dude, you're hitting 075. That is terrible. And yes, he's a rookie. Yes, he's figuring it out. But let's not sugarcoat it. He's been horrific, as John points out in the comments. And going back to what I said, what's the point, John says, in a first-round draft pick if you aren't supposed to be picking the best and highest potential player? So again, Jared Sandler coming on, and I love Jared. Love Jared Sandler. Think he's awesome. Agree with him most times. One of the rare times I don't agree, you drafted Jack Leiter and you had in mind, this is going to be a great number three starter. Then why draft him first round? I don't get it. And I know that there's going to be some baseball geniuses telling you that's an NFL mindset. I'm not settling for that excuse. If I'm drafting somebody in the first round, I'm trying to draft a star, not a guy that's safe and might end up being a back-end rotation dude. That's just me. Let me keep on rolling, y'all. So Jack Leiter tomorrow, and let me go ahead and preview that matchup for you since we're already on the topic. So hopefully we get a great start from Jack. I know there'll be a lot of I told you so-ing. You can book it right now. If he goes out and has a great game, you are going to see a lot of people pointing fingers saying, I told you so. See, I told you. I told you Jack was fine. All of you were just overreacting. You don't know baseball. I already seen those types of comments getting thrown. You don't know baseball. You're overreacting to Jack Leiter's struggles. 3 years into the May, 3.5 years in after being drafted. You don't know ball because Jack Leiter is struggling and you're criticizing him. Trust the process. Come on now. Come on now. Aaron makes a good point. Wenzel got DFA'd batting 075. Now, let's check out Wenzel's stats. Like Wenzel, I don't know a whole lot about where he was drafted and all of that kind of stuff. I think first round draft picks are always going to have a lot more runway. They just are. So Wenzel was a 37th round draft pick in 2018 and then a first round draft pick in 2019. So Aaron, this is actually a great comp. This is something I didn't know. So Wenzel was a first round draft pick. Oh my gosh. I'm going to need a second, y'all. So back-to-back first round draft picks, Wenzel and Foscue. Wenzel was 2019 first round draft pick by the Rangers. Foscue was first round draft pick in 2020. So back to back years, our first round draft picks come up and are basically unplayable. Foscue, I think, is getting lucky that the Rangers are where they are. There's no way Justin Foscue would be on the major league roster right now if we had even a shot at making the playoffs. But that is alarming to me. 2019 and 2020, back-to-back years, you went Wenzel and Foscue. Thank goodness for Josh Jung. I mean, Josh Jung, I know, is having his struggles, but I think we can agree Josh Jung has some major league talent. But to whiff that badly in 2019 and now potentially in 2020, Wenzel and Foscue back-to-back, that's painful. There's no other way to get around that. That's straight up painful. And Foscue, maybe a guy that you do move on from. I think they were really hoping he could turn into something special. Nate Lowe, kind of just giving you mediocre right now. We know he's a gold glover. Nate Lowe, very solid defensively. But let's be honest, Nate Lowe is mediocre at best at the plate. And I think they were really hoping Foscue would develop into a nice corner infielder. That hasn't really been the case. I still can't get over this, y'all. Aaron, thanks for bringing it up. I still cannot get over Wenzel and Foscue were back-to-back first-round picks in 2019 and 2020. You got to be kidding me. I'm darn near speechless. I know that this shouldn't be brand new information to me, but it's just sinking in. Back-to-back years, we drafted that poorly in the first round. And look, I don't want Jack Leiter to be a part of that, but he will be. So 2019, 2020, 2021, you had Wenzel, you had Foscue, and then you had Leiter. Leiter was 2021. That's 3 years in a row. If Leiter doesn't pan out or Foscue doesn't start finally figuring out how to hit a baseball in the major leagues, that's 3 years in a row of bad first-round draft picks. I think we got to hope Jack Leiter works out because that is abysmal drafting. Let me keep going. John, this sums it up well. I'm hoping and praying Jack has a great game. Nobody's wanting him to fall apart. Nobody is wanting Jack to fall apart. We all want to see him do well. But there are some realities. And the reality is if Jack does not start pitching well, it's very fair to start questioning whether or not he is going to work out long term. There's not an eternal runway, even if you are the son of a major league player and a first-round draft pick. Look at Wenzel. There wasn't an eternal runway for first-round draft pick Davis Wenzel. They DFA'd him. And that is what will happen to some of these other first-round draft picks if they don't perform. I do agree you got Jung right. You got Langford right. I really do feel like those were good, solid picks. So good bounce-back years in, 22 and in 23. Good bounce-back years. At this point, we are just going to have to wait and see how the 2024 draft pick works out. Look, it's hard in baseball. It's hard picking guys that pop. Look at all the people that passed on Mike Trout before he got drafted. I think I forget who we drafted when we could have had Mike Trout in the same round. I'm going to look that up just because it's going to bug me. Mike Trout draft round. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is perfect. I love looking up stuff like this. This is part of the reason why I love baseball so much. So Mike Trout was drafted in 2009, and Trout was selected when? Come on, supplemental? I'm going to have to see. 2009, though, and at this point, he was, let's see, come on, where are you? Trout was drafted 25th. We drafted Matt Perky Perk? I don't even know who that is. I mean, look, I'm not even going to lie about it. And a bunch of people, Randall Grichuk got drafted before Trout. Shelby Miller, former Ranger, got drafted by the Cardinals before Mike Trout. Let's see, Mike Leake got drafted before Mike Trout. Mike Minor, former Ranger, in the 2009 draft, drafted before Mike Trout. Steven Strasburg was drafted first in that 09 draft. So look at how many people passed on Trout and look at what he became. I mean, it's just hard in the major leagues, right? It's just hard to know who is going to pop and who's not. I mean, I don't know. I think it's easier to be critical than it is to actually draft really, really good players. It's easy because so many guys don't end up working out. But look, first round, you would like to hit on your first round guys. I think you get past the first round and it gets tough. But in the first round, you would like to hit on guys like that. Let's see here. The Rangers took DJ Oshae in the sixth round in 2022. He's lighting up the minors. He is top 10 players. Absolutely. Look, I think it goes without saying, you know, we're being hard on the first round draft picks, but absolutely there are gems to be found throughout the draft. And the Rangers, I can't say they're terrible. I mean, look, Kumar Rocker looks amazing right now. Kumar Rocker looks outstanding. So I'm not sitting here saying the Rangers are awful at drafting in general, but the facts are the facts. The last several first-round draft picks have not been great, and I don't really think that's debatable. Hopefully Jack Leiter doesn't become a part of that list. I don't know. Who did we pass up in 19, 20, and 21? That's a good question. Now, we'd have to go back and look into the 2019 draft. I'll just, out of curiosity, we got a little time here since there wasn't that much good stuff to talk about in the game tonight. The 2019 MLB draft, I don't know if it's going to show me. So we drafted, 2019, we actually drafted Young, and then Wenzel was a supplemental, I believe. Wenzel was a competitive balance first rounder. Okay, so we did get Josh Young in the 2019 draft, but then Wenzel was a supplemental pick. Fair enough. Now, some of the guys drafted after Wenzel that you could have ended up going for. So this is painful. Gunnar Henderson was drafted right behind Wenzel. Gunnar Henderson for the Orioles was drafted immediately after Wenzel. That's painful. I didn't have to go very far to figure out the pain of drafting Wenzel over some of the other guys in the 2019 draft. Gunnar Henderson was selected 42nd, right behind Davis Wenzel at 41. Now I'm going to go through the rest and we're going to see if I can find anybody else of note in round two. Let's see. Josh Smith was drafted by the Yankees. We ended up getting him. He was drafted 67th. Rangers Josh Smith we're talking about. I'm just going to go a little bit further here in the 2019 draft and see if there's anybody else worth talking about. Michael Harris for the Braves was selected 98th. I think I'd rather have Michael Harris than Davis Wenzel at this point. We're continuing on here. A little bit more, y'all. A little bit more. Don't know if we're going to find anybody else of note, but we're trying. Cody Bradford, Texas, selected him 175th in that draft. Man, they really were high on Wenzel. There's some other guys that I know, but I don't know if y'all would know. Just minor league guys. I know we're not all up on them. But look, Gunnar Henderson's got to be the big one there. You could have had Gunnar Henderson. Cary Carpenter, a Detroit Tigers outfielder who has, I think, had some decent games, decent seasons for the Tigers, 562nd in that draft. The Yankees actually drafted Jack Leiter 615th in the 2019 draft right out of high school, but he decided, of course, to go to Vandy. I think that's about all we can go through. There's some more names in here, but I think that that's good for now. Gunnar Henderson's got to be the big one there. That's a big time ouch. Gunnar Henderson was right there for the taking, and you went Wenzel, and it happened to be infielder versus infielder. I mean, Wenzel's glove plays, but wow, I would love to hear the rationale. That's why it would be fun to kind of be a fly on the wall. Like, how did you decide Wenzel was better than Gunnar Henderson? That's painful. All right, y'all, I gotta get out. I don't even want to go to 2020 and see who came after Foscue, but you know what? Curiosity is going to get the best of me. Let's see who came after Foscue in the 2020 MLB draft. So Foscue goes 14th, and let's just go down from there. Jordan Walker for the Cardinals, pretty notable name at this point. Let's see, Cavalli for the Nationals, one of their top pitchers. Bobby Miller for the Dodgers. Austin Wells, great catcher for the Yankees, went after Foscue. Jordan Westberg for the Orioles after Foscue. Let's see who else. We're getting into the second round right now. I don't think we'll go too far past the second. Evan Carter, we drafted after Foscue in round two of 2020. So Evan Carter and Foscue, same draft. Mason Wynn, that's probably a notable one. I think we've seen what Mason Wynn can do for the Cardinals. 54th overall, Mason Wynn was drafted after Foscue. And let me see some other ones. There's some pretty big time minor league prospects. Again, I don't want to get into all of them because I don't know how many of y'all are up to date with all of the top prospects. Might just be a little meaningless for me to start name dropping, but there's a number of top prospects that were drafted in this 2020 draft. I'm in the fourth round right now and not finding too many others. Spencer Strider. Wow. Spencer Strider was drafted 126th in the 2020 draft. Strider, of course, out with an injury for the year. Tommy John, right? But Strider was drafted after Foscue. That one hurts, but clearly a lot of other teams didn't know about him either. And then let's go to fifth round and call it. I don't think we need to go further anymore. Let me see. I think that's about it. I don't think there's anybody else. Strider's got to be the big one, though, along with Mason Wynn, and I would also say Austin Wells up there. Look, not great. It's painful to look at some of that. And I think what gets frustrating is those guys have obviously popped a lot quicker than what we've got. Maybe Foscue does pop, and he's a little bit of a late bloomer. Same thing for Leiter. Same thing for some of those other guys. Wenzel, maybe he catches on with the team and starts lighting it up. But you know what? I just feel like more often than not, the guys that are legit are pretty good right away, and there really isn't a ton of wait time. There's not a 3 or 4 year wait time for a lot of these guys. Can it happen? Yes, absolutely. But I think a lot of guys that are all-stars pretty quickly. I mean, look at Mike Trout. He came up, lit it up pretty much right away. Gunnar Henderson, doesn't mean he didn't have any struggles, but he's early in his career, figuring it out pretty quickly. Strider figured it out pretty quickly. I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that's like eternal runway for these first-round draft picks. At some point, you got to say it didn't work out, and first-round draft picks don't work out sometimes. It's true. Baseball Network, thanks for the comments. I know I haven't gotten to all of them yet tonight, but we won't know for some of these guys for a couple of years. But at the same time, it's a little disheartening looking through some of these draft picks for sure. 2021 draft, we obviously took Leiter pretty early on, and then we took Rocker. So 2021 MLB draft, let me just say a few names afterwards here. Let's see if we can find anybody of note that's already popped. So somebody that's already popped. So we had Jack Leiter second. Kowser was fifth. Kowser probably going to win AL Rookie of the Year this year. Let's see who else we have. It's not a lot of guys because this is still pretty young in some of these guys' careers. Jackson Merrill is probably the big one. Jackson Merrill in the 2021 draft was drafted 27th. He's probably going to win NL Rookie of the Year this year. He's having an outstanding season. Jackson Merrill for the Padres, 27th in the 2021 draft. Who else? Let's see. We're in the second round now. Just going through, seeing who was drafted after Jack Leiter. Anybody of note? James Wood was drafted by the Padres. James Wood's having a nice little first season for the Nats at this point. He was traded, of course, away from the Padres to the Nats in the Juan Soto deal, right? Let's see. We're into the notable selections in the third round. Mason Miller was drafted 97th in that draft, in the 2021 draft, the Leiter draft. He appears to be doing pretty well so far in the major leagues. Tanner Bibee, a pitcher we've seen a couple of times, has pitched pretty well against us for the Guardians. He was drafted 156th. So, look, there are definitely some players on this list that are already contributing pretty well at the major league level. It's hard, y'all. It just is. It's hard with a baseball draft to know who's going to pop and to know who is going to end up being a stud. It happens all the time. Guys get picked way low and they end up being all-stars. And then guys that get drafted high don't pan out. I hope that that is not the fate for Leiter. I'm looking forward to his start tomorrow. I hope that we can continue on that positive trajectory. But I think if he has a rough start tomorrow, you're going to see some fans start to call out a little bit more the struggles, the lack of development. I don't want to say tomorrow is like a big start for Leiter, but I do think you're going to start seeing some criticism start to mount if he doesn't have a decent outing tomorrow. Just my opinion. Of course, it is Right on Rangers. So, yeah, that's pretty much what you get the entire show. But, hey, little disclaimer there. But we don't get everything right. But that is where we're at with Jack Leiter. Let's start wrapping things up. So around the league, we ought to just go through some scores real quick. In the West, I think Houston did get a win today. Oakland is tied 2-2 with Detroit. We also have Seattle beating the Cardinals 6-1 in St. Louis. Arizona is playing the Astros right now. They got blanked tonight by Valdez. Valdez only gave up 2 hits, I believe, tonight. Very, very solid performance from him. Let's see how many innings he went. He went 7 innings, 2 hits, 7 Ks. And Alvarez had a couple of bombs. Jordan Montgomery came in relief, gave up 4 earned runs. Poor Monty. Dude, that guy left Texas and has just not been the same since. Jordan Montgomery getting lit up against the Astros. The irony. The Astros killer, Jordan Montgomery, last year getting lit up against the Stros. Look, you can't be that great against the Stros forever. But I feel bad for Monty. Kind of got screwed in the offseason with Boris playing hardball with the contract and has had a really, really tough year. Didn't get a full spring training. I wonder, I don't think he's going to opt out just because the deal is too lucrative for the second year. Nobody's going to give Jordan Montgomery $25 million a year next year. So I think if you're Monty, clearly you're opting back in and you're trying to rebound so you can go get another contract in a year and a half. But Montgomery, man, he did not play it well with Scott Boris in the offseason. Feel bad for the guy. And he is at an ERA of 6.43 this season. Don't know if he'd be doing any better with the Rangers. Maybe, maybe not. But I think that was a good move, not giving Monty $25 million. That is, I think, something that CY needs to be credited for. I mean, he gets a lot of crap for not going out there and getting a few more solid players. I do think we have to look at who he didn't go and get that hasn't worked out. And I think Montgomery, if CY would have blown $25 million per year on Jordan, and then he would have had this type of season, that would have been a really, really bad call and decision. That would have really crippled the Rangers going into 2025 as well. So, look, got to give CY some credit. Probably the best move not to go out and get Jordan Montgomery, who has struggled a ton with the Diamondbacks this season. All right, y'all, tomorrow, let's go through. We have a game time tomorrow of, 6:05 again. A lot of night games in a row here. 6:05 start, Jack Leiter on the bump against Tyler Anderson. Rangers numbers against Anderson. Duran, 1-for-8 with a home run. Doley, 2-for-16, 125. Jonah Heim, actually, 5.33 average against Anderson in his career in 15 at-bats. Josh Young, 2-for-5. Carson Kelly batting 211 in about 20 ABs, so I think about 2-for-19 is how it reads. Nate Lowe is not good against Anderson, 118 batting average and 17 career at-bats. Marcus Semien is batting 091 against Anderson and 11 career at-bats. Josh Smith, 1-for-2. Leody, 2-for-6. Kind of a mixed bag, but notables, Heim, Young, Smith, and Leody all have hit Anderson fairly well. Small sample size, but nevertheless, hopefully the Rangers can start scoring some runs against the worst team or one of the worst teams in baseball. My goodness. All right, y'all. I think it's time to wrap things up. Appreciate all of y'all tuning in. We're going to be back at it tomorrow. Hopefully the Rangers bounce back and get us a win. But at this point, it's on to the Jack Leiter start. Hope you'll join us again for some more post-game reaction and analysis. And if you don't tune into any of the lives over the weekend, have a great one. Enjoy some football, NFL tonight, last night, some good games already in the mix. We will be going live on Saturday after the Longhorns game tomorrow and after the Cowboys game on Sunday. So we are very excited about expanding the show out to multiple teams and sports. We're always going to be talking Rangers, and we're going to finish out the Ranger season strong, but we are adding Longhorns and Cowboys to the slate. Excited about that. If you know anyone that loves the Rangers, Longhorns, Cowboys, loves football, loves baseball, send them my way. Let's keep growing this good group of people we got, talking sports, talking baseball, talking Rangers. I love it. And if you're not following, not subscribed to the channel, hit that follow or subscribe button. hit that notification bell, stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content, and get notified every time we go live. Hope you have a great rest of the Friday night and a good weekend ahead. Catch us tomorrow post-game after hopefully a Texas Rangers win to at least ensure a split in this four-game set with the Angels. And as I say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.